Now, here's a preview of Powerful Women Revealed.
Afternoon, and welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed, sponsored by Nicole Perry. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of uplifting, educational, and intimate discussions with a variety of powerful women that have all made the commitment to take their businesses and organizations to a higher level. These entrepreneurs all have a mission and appreciate the opportunity to share their stories with you. These women reveal their inspirations, milestones, and successes with your host, Nicole Perry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and today we're talking all about money, but more specifically, property investment and home ownership. My guest today is Liz Silver. She's a realtor with Realtor with Silver Realty Group out of New Bedford, Mass. She's been licensed since 2003, and back in 2007, she was named Rookie of the Year for one of the offices that she worked in. And also in 2007, she was top producer in that office. Since 2005, Liz has been considered a leading expert in bank-owned foreclosures, also known as REO, which stands for Real Estate Owned, and HAFA, or Home Affordable Foreclosure Alternatives. Liz Silva, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And I'm delighted to have you. And I think I screwed up some of your intro a little bit because I rearranged how I was saying it. But you were named Rookie of the Year for a really large office back in 2007 and top producer from 2007 all the way to 2010 in that office. But you have your own location now.
Yes, I own my own company now, my
okay.
own real estate
so brokerage. So Silver Realty Group.
Yes.
And now, before we go into this first segment, your office is in New Bedford.
Yes.
And you are very technical savvy.
I am.
You have a technical background.
Yes.
So what is your technical background before you got into the real estate?
Before I started real estate, I was actually an IT manager in a healthcare billing company. I've always had a passion for computers and technology, even from a young age. Dabbled with pretty much everything, ranging from tinkering with hardware to dealing with various types of software, databases, and I build and maintain my own websites. So I've pretty much handled everything myself that's computer related, up until recently when I'm starting to learn to delegate things out, which is important.
Ah, okay. All right. So how does your technical background help you in your real estate business today? Is it because you can do your own website and do all of the things that you need to do behind the scenes?
I think it's given me a huge advantage for sure, because if you know, back in 2003, a lot of this technology wasn't really around, and things that you're seeing now that realtors are adopting in terms of technology, websites, and everything else really didn't exist back 13 years ago. And yet, that's what I was doing.
Ah.
You know, I started. Started my website back in 2003 at a time where a lot of larger real estate companies were kind of hesitant in adopting that technology.
Yeah.
And yet I was already into it.
I
so things that realtors are doing now, I was already doing 13 years ago.
Ah, okay. So. Now, it's hard to imagine, like, to go back, because we know what we know today, and everything is always moving ahead.
Right.
You
and
know, social media and mm-hmm. websites, and, you know, websites now almost feel like they're old fashioned.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But we still need them.
Absolutely.
It's your home base.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you've been in the real estate business since 2003. How did you become such an expert in the bank-owned properties? And I know there's the technical REO is what it means, but for the listener and myself, we bank-owned, we can wrap our brains around that a little bit more than all these other technical terms.
Right.
And foreclosures. So how did you become such a leader in your industry in those fields?
Well, it's kind of funny. Back in 2005, I sold my first bank-owned property, and I thought the process was different, and it was interesting. It was different than the regular retail property, and that kind of got me researching, not only researching the process, but following up with other people, other REO agents at that time, and trying to get myself into that business, learning what they knew already. And at the time, back in 2005, there weren't a lot of agents that were really interested in getting into foreclosures, because at that time it was still the height of the market. So it was pretty easy to sell real estate. Things were selling quickly. So while everyone was going in one direction, I was going in the complete opposite direction and going towards those foreclosures.
And you knew that instinctually that would be a great way to go. So you had only been in real estate for 2 years.
Right.
When this happened.
Right.
Now, why did you get into the real estate business to begin with?
It kind of by accident, really. Because the place that I was working at as an IT manager, they were closing down. I had a 2 and 4 year old at the time, and it was at a time where the technology bubble burst. If you think back to 2001, 2002, I really didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I really didn't want to commute to Boston for a technology job, and with 2 small children, I said I don't know really what I was going to do. And someone in the office mentioned real estate. It was not even a speck on my radar,
to be in real estate. I think that's fantastic that you fell into something that you absolutely love.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be temporary, temporary. But it ended up taking off, and 13 years later, here I am owning my own business.
Oh, my God. And having how many people? How many?
There's 11 of us right now.
11 total. Yeah. Okay. Now, you do have, I just want to mention that you have your National Association of Realtors. What is that, a license or a certification?
It's a membership.
Membership.
Yep, National Association.
And then Massachusetts Association of Realtors. You have that as well. And then Greater New Bedford Association of Realtors. I never knew there could be such a fine-tuned association. And then what is Default Industry Leaders?
They specialize, well, it's a group of REO agents that specialized in foreclosures.
Yeah, foreclosures.
Yeah, defaulted properties.
Loans. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so foreclosures is, you know, there's a ton happening. So back in, I forget what year you said, was it 2000?
2005 is when it started, but it really peaked around 2007.
And
that's when I was at my busiest.
And there's just such a correlation between the foreclosures and, is it the 5-to-1 arms that are up? Like, there's, because we had that happen with us where we didn't foreclose, but we had a 5-to-1 arm in the house that we live in. And when, at the 4-year mark, we knew we had to refinance because it was going to, that mortgage payment was going to jump to a ridiculous amount of money. So is that what's happening with all these foreclosures? It's people that are in the arms or certain, programs that they just can't handle it once it switches.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. It creates kind of like a perfect storm.
Yeah.
The adjustable rate mortgages resetting, obviously. I think, at the time, 2005, it was the height of the market. A lot of people, I think, were purchasing more than what they could probably afford.
Yeah.
And then trying to catch up, values going down.
And the banks were doing it. The banks were letting them borrow the money. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, perfect storm. Okay. Now, so how long is a, or how many years is a typical property owned before the banks take over the property during the foreclosure? So I guess I'm just looking for, kind of an estimate
timeline.
How's that happening? Is it 3 to 4 years and then there's another interim period where they stop paying mortgage payments? Or, I mean, what are you seeing?
That's kind of hard to tell, but I know as far as how long it takes for the bank to take over once you've defaulted, that's changed. Back in 2007, it seems like things happened very quickly.
Yeah.
And now that's completely shifted. And that's for multiple reasons that I probably won't get into.
Yeah.
But, the time frame seems to be very, very long. I have one that I just, assignment that I received in Dartmouth, that the property has been vacant for 8 years foreclosed on it.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not good.
So it's taking a long time. And that's scary from my point of view.
It is. That
scary
is
from
that.
Yeah. Everybody's point of view.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is not a good thing. Okay. So now, what is a short sale? And is this something that goes? I know what a short sale is, but what is it? And is this something that goes hand in hand with the bank-owned properties and foreclosures?
Well, short sale is a little bit different in that a homeowner is asking the bank to avoid foreclosure and accept less than what's owed on the property before it gets to the auction or the foreclosure. For the inexperienced, it could be a long, painstaking process, and it could be emotionally exhausting for the homeowner. Mm-hmm. But it can also be a sigh of relief when the transaction's done right.
Yes.
So assuming that they use the right professionals, which includes a real estate agent and an experienced short sale attorney, which is very important. And at the same time, using a tax professional, because they need to know what the, you know, what the ramifications are tax-wise.
Okay. Short sale attorney and tax specialists are very key. Okay. Yep. We've got to go to a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk about where your territory is.
Okay.
My guest is Liz Silva with Silva Realty Group, and you can find her at buybankreo.com. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
When faced with conflict, many people turn to court and expensive litigation. But there is a better way. At Whole Family Law and Mediation, they help their clients resolve conflict out of court using mediation and collaborative law. Couples can efficiently come to an agreement while preserving their emotional and financial resources and protecting their families. Whole Family Law and Mediation. Compassion, collaboration, resolution. Contact them today to see if mediation or collaborative law is right for you at wholefamilylaw.com.
If you're looking for visibility and building relationships that lead to ideal clients and career advancement, the South Shore Women's Business Network is for you. At the South Shore Women's Business Network, our mission is to foster relationships, provide mentorship, education, and build a community to empower women. Join us for after-hours networking events such as trivia, wine tasting, and mini golf. Attend a speaker breakfast with like-minded professionals, even publish an article, or offer a workshop to the members. To join us, visit sswbn.org.
Are you planning a wedding, bridal shower, anniversary, or other special event? Let Mama cook for you. The Mamma Mia's family of restaurants can handle all of your catering so you can enjoy the same authentic Italian cuisine that you experience in their restaurants. Mamma Mia's Catering offers homemade recipes priced to fit any budget. You can pick up your order before your event, or Mamma Mia's will even come to you. For more information, call any one of Mamma Mia's 6 locations or visit online at mammamias.net.
And we are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and my guest is Liz Silva, and she's with Silva Realty Group. And I want to mention we have a little co-guest today, co-guest, Susan Whitehead, and she is one of your nine, you have nine agents.
Yes.
Including the two of you, and Susan is one of the other agents. So thank you for mentioning. Oh, you just heard my little honk. All right. So your territory is pretty big, which I think a lot of real estate agents are. Is that true? I mean, you go how many miles? You're like Seekonk, Dedham, Weymouth.
We're all over.
All over. Plymouth, Sandwich, Nantucket?
No, right? I don't go out to Nantucket.
Mattapoisett, Taunton, New Bedford. It's like that all encompassing, that whole area, and maybe even a little bit beyond.
Yeah, I think because of the REO, I have to go out that far. I'm dealing with large companies and large asset management companies that that require my services out there. So we've been known to go pretty far out. We're situated in New Bedford, and the bulk of our listings are in the South Coast. But we've had multiple listings out in Yarmouth, Dennisport, and been way out to Franklin. So pretty much all over. And we're even licensed in Rhode Island. We've had listings in Little Compton, Newport, and currently have listings coming in Tiverton.
Okay. All right. And the reason why I wrote Nantucket, I think, is because on your website, you have the beautiful, the auction. The list there with all
the
calendar with all the homes that are going up for auction. And I know there was one in there from Nantucket. So I kind of assumed, but not that you
wouldn't
go there.
I wouldn't be opposed to going there, absolutely.
Maybe combine it with a little vacation in between. Okay. So now, is it true that there is about 48% of real estate properties are actually bank owned?
They're not anymore.
Okay.
I know that they exist.
Okay.
And they're probably not on the market. But back in 07, that it was probably close to that percentage. Because the process has slowed down so much, like I was mentioning earlier, where sometimes it could take eight years. To finally get to there. I think right now, the last time I checked, it was about 7%. So if you look in the MLS, there's about 7% of them in the South Coast area that are bank owned.
Wait a minute. So I read 48%. Mm-mm. So that is way off. Wow.
They may be 48% in default. That wouldn't surprise me because there's a lot out there.
Okay.
But as far as being active, listed on the market, there's only
about
7%.
Of the 48%.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So they're probably...
So that's why I say it's a little scary.
Yes. Okay. So now how do you educate your clients? Are there specific things that they need to know about a bank-owned property if they're purchasing one?
Yes. I educate them with baby steps. It's hard to share absolutely everything there is to know about buying real estate, and specifically bank owned, all
at
once.
We need baby steps.
Yes,
feed it to us a little bit at a time. Okay.
Otherwise, they get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, it's too much information all at once.
Yeah. So you just take them through one step at a time.
Exactly.
And on a need to know. Right now, you only need to know this about this property.
Exactly.
And so forth. Okay.
So, yeah, pre-approval stage. Here's what to expect. Here's what we're going to do. Making an offer. Here's what to expect. Here's what we're going to do. And just baby steps all the way through.
Okay. So who is an ideal person to purchase a bank-owned property? Basically, anybody.
Right now, anyone.
That wants to get a deal? Are they getting a deal?
So in most cases, I mean, we are in a market where there's a lot of people searching. So we're starting to see the prices go up. But in the past, we've had a lot of investors purchasing REO. And now anyone can really purchase a bank-owned property. And banks are actually encouraging non-investors. They're repairing their properties now. Because in the past, an investor would purchase it, put the work into it, and turn a profit. They'd resell it months later.
Okay.
And the banks want to encourage home ownership. So they will repair the property, get it to move in condition, and put it on the market.
The banks will repair it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they didn't do that in the past.
We have, we used to have a home in our neighborhood. I don't know if it's still on the market, but people had moved and then pipes burst.
That happens
often. And so it was vacant for many, many years. And I still don't even know right now if I'm sure it was bank owned. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there's a new family living there now. I have no idea, but maybe you guys can help me look that up after we're done.
Maybe we can help.
So I do love that auction calendar that you have on your website. Is it true that there are daily 10 to 15 homes in the surrounding areas that we mentioned?
Yes. If you average it out, it's about that. We provide that auction calendar as a courtesy to our investors. When the property goes to auction, a lot of times we're not involved in that. I'm not making a commission on it because they're going on their own, but I do provide that as a courtesy to our web visitors and clients. If you look, there's a lot of properties on there, and that's visible evidence that there are a lot of properties that are coming down the pipeline. But the funny thing is, if you follow those properties, you look at the calendar, you're going to see that a lot of those properties are going to be canceled or rescheduled multiple times.
Wait a minute. The auction is going to be canceled or rescheduled.
Yes.
And where are these auctions happening?
all over. They're so, happening on site.
Oh,
yeah. So they're on site in front of the property.
Okay, yes. They're happening on site in front of the property. So why would it be canceled and rescheduled?
Well, sometimes they're trying to go through loan mitigation. They're trying to do a short sale, and that will get postponed. But usually you're seeing that happen multiple times. It'll get canceled, rescheduled, and then canceled again and rescheduled.
Wow. So if there's a property that you have an interest in, you want
to really have to follow it.
Yeah. Keep an eye on it, because when you think it's going to be gone, it might be still available.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, do you need to have cash? What do you need to purchase one of these properties?
An auction property or a bank-owned property? Because there's a difference.
Oh, okay. Either one. We got to go to a break. So you have about 30 seconds or a minute. Go ahead.
Okay.
Whichever one you want to talk about.
Auction properties, I don't recommend. If you're not experienced with purchasing at auction, you probably want to stay away from that. There's a lot involved with it.
Yeah.
A lot that you could get into trouble with. Bank-owned, doesn't have to be cash. Go for it.
Okay. Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. So there are two different things.
Oh, yeah.
There is a lot to know.
There is.
And I'm glad I'm not in this business. I'm glad you guys are. All right. Well, we are going to have to take another break. My guest is Liz Silva with Silva Realty Group, and one of her agents is Susan Whitehead. You can go to buybankreo.com to visit the website. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
Looking for a new and affordable way to promote your business? Let Sprout Digital Network create an eye-catching 30-second commercial starring your business. Playing all day long on high-def TVs placed inside popular local restaurants, including Mamma Mia's, Sushi Joy, and Lobster Hut. Reach 100,000 people per month. Spots are filling up fast, so contact Rachel now to lock out your competition. Go to SproutDigitalNetwork.com for more info. That's Sprout DigitalNetwork.com. We make you look good.
You know, every week you hear me talking with powerful women in and around the South Shore, and their stories totally inspire me. But you may not think that you have an inspiring story, but that's because you lived it. So I'd like to hear your story, because together we can get you more visibility and continue to inspire women here at PowerfulWomenRevealed.com.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down, we don't have to go out. Welcome to my house.
We are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and my guest is Liz Silver and Susan Whitehead, and they are with Silva Realty Group. You can go to buybankreo.com for more information. Love that song.
Me too.
I'm so glad it was PG-13, because I try to keep the show that way. Now, we talked about that house that I had in my neighborhood that the pipes had burst,
yes.
And it was vacant for a really long time, and there's nothing so sad. There's nothing sadder to see a home where there once was a live family thriving and then it's vacant. But, you know, what types of history are happening, and what do you really need to know about the history? Because I think one thing you would need to know is if anything major happened, like, bursting of pipes.
Right, right. And most banks are generally sold as is, as seen condition. So that could be a little scary, especially if you're getting something that has not been repaired. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of banks are repairing their properties. But when you have something that hasn't been repaired, you definitely want to have a home inspection. I think with any property, it doesn't matter whether it's bank owned. Even if it was new construction, you need a home inspection.
Do you need more than one?
Well, there are different types. There's a home inspection, but then you also want to have a radon inspection, termite inspection. You can even have a soil inspection.
Oh,
so it's important that you have a real estate agent that's going to help you to understand.
But it's an investment. So if you're going to plunk all your life savings and your money into a property,
it's worth having that inspection.
It's worth having a couple of different types of inspections just to make sure that you're, you know, it's peace of mind, right?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Now, you're all about teamwork. And I love on your website, it says Team Silver. Most agencies say they have a strong team. What do you feel are the strengths about your team?
I'm actually very proud of my team. I've always worked together with other people. Even when I first started, I partnered up with someone. Real estate agent is very time consuming. It could be very lonely if you have to do it on your own.
Yeah.
So working as a team instead of trying to work against each other, because when you really think of it, in real estate, you're in competition with everybody else in the office.
Mm.
But instead of looking at it that way, having a team, you make it fun. It's a positive thing. And when you come to work, it's a fun place to be.
Absolutely.
So if you look at my team, and one of the things that stands out to me is that they never hesitate to help each other out. And as an example, we had one of our agents that was holding an open house in a high traffic area. It was going to be great weather. She thought that it was going to be very busy. She actually just started with our company, and she asked the team. She sent out a message to everyone, and she says, hey, if anybody's available on Saturday and can stop in, Sharon's listing, please do, because I think it might be busy and I'd love some help. And I myself went by there and found several of our agents showed up that day.
Really?
So I thought that was awesome.
Oh, you're giving me goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah, and they didn't ask for anything in return. They just did it because they wanted to back her up.
Oh, very nice. All right, now what are you doing differently when it comes to hiring? Because I read that you want to clone yourself in all of the staff and the team that you have.
Yeah.
So what are the things that you're doing differently to do that?
Well, I really try to set my agents up for success right out of the gate. So when they join my company, they get the usual, like they would with any other company, business cards, follow-up system, a website. Well, you might not get that with another company, but I provide a website with their own domain name. And of course, they have my cell phone number available where they can text and ask me questions any time of the day or night. But they get the real estate technology aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have me to fall back on for anything related to technology. So I set them up with the social media and the same tech tools that I used in my own personal business to try to get up and running.
Okay. All right. And so you have 9 agents. And do they all specialize in the foreclosure, the short sale, the bank owned, or do they all have like little niches?
They all have their own niches.
Okay.
You know, I don't force everyone in my office to deal with bank owned properties because not everybody likes to do that. Everybody has their own specialty.
Yeah.
So we just gotta.
What is it about it that not everybody likes it?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot of emotions that run into it. Like you were saying earlier, how that home may end up not looking so well. And it's just a house, really. And you have to turn that into a home.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to see someone lose their home. I think that's the absolute worst part about what I do is that. And I'm actually glad that it happens after the foreclosure process, because it's very sad to see that happen.
Yeah. But you're also on the other end of it. Where you're putting people in
and
you're helping people start anew.
And thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise
you have to have that balance.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, I read, I know this is probably, I don't know, Fannie Mae?
Fannie Mae and Fannie Mae.
Yeah. Are people still talking about that stuff? I had to Google. I don't know anything about it. So what is it about? I mean, because it says back in 1933 is when those things were introduced.
Well, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae still exist. Those are one of the top two companies. They have a lot of great incentives. They've got home path programming that will help a homeowner, which gives them 3.5% down.
I don't even know.
They do a lot.
They're
one of the many banks that are actually repairing their properties.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I asked my husband, I'm like, I don't even know what we have. If we have a FHA or a any of those. I don't even know what I have. See, I'm like completely clueless. Thank God I'm not in this business. Well, there's a lot to know.
There is
a ton to know. So can you provide in your office, I just want to sort of kick this out there, the dual buyer's agent and seller's agent. I think that the, can you provide that in your office?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I think the stereotype out there is that people are so, I don't know, they're afraid to let somebody handle both ends.
Yes, and it can be scary. I mean, you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith in your real estate agent, because that real estate agent has two jobs to do. I mean, obviously, a buyer will want their own representation. A seller is going to want their own representation. But every once in a while, for instance, I'll have a listing that where I'm representing the seller, and then one of my buyers that I've been working with for years wants to buy that property. And I think the main thing is that the agent has to remain neutral. They can't, they have to be very careful in what they tell the other party, because now you're working
on both teams.
That dual agency.
Yeah, right? On both teams. So you just have to be...
You've got to be honest. You've got to be honest, and you've got to be very careful.
Okay. Yep. All right. So you can provide that. I just think that it's silly to have that stereotype that people don't want. I don't know. There's a stereotype that people think that real estate agents make a ton of money.
Right.
So in
right.
some cases, you can. It depends on how hard you work.
Right.
But if you're doing the work of doing the job of two people, mm-hmm. what difference does it make?
And sometimes that'll make for a smoother transaction, because you're actually not having to wait for a third party to come along. And, you know, you're able to control everything that's going on and monitor it closely.
All right. So we have one more segment. I hope you'll stay with us. My guest is Liz Silver and Susan Whitehead with Silver Realty Group. You can go to buybankreo.com. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD.
When faced with conflict, many people turn to court and expensive litigation. But there is a better way. At Whole Family Law and Mediation, they help their clients resolve conflict out of court using mediation and collaborative law. Couples can efficiently come to an agreement while preserving their emotional and financial resources and protecting their families. Whole Family Law and Mediation. Compassion, collaboration, resolution. Contact them today to see if mediation or collaborative law is right for you at wholefamilylaw.com.
Are you an entrepreneur looking for help with your current bookkeeping, accounting, and tax needs? Meridian Financial Service specializes in working with individuals, small businesses, and startups by offering a full range of accounting and tax services. At Meridian Financial Service, their service levels and fast response times give them an advantage over their competition. Let Meridian Financial Service help you plan your finances. Contact them today at meridianfinancialservice.com.
You know, every week you hear me talking with powerful women in and around the South Shore, and their stories totally inspire me. But you may not think that you have an inspiring story, but that's because you lived it. So I'd like to hear your story, because together we can get you more visibility and continue to inspire women here at powerfulwomenrevealed.com.
Could get used to this. It's getting harder to live.
We are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry, and my guest is Liz and Susan, and they are with Silva Realty Group. And before we go into this next segment about homeownership, I do want to mention that one of the stigmas about the dual buyers agent for the buyer and the seller is the confidentiality and the disclosure. So if somebody is selling the property and they have water damage in the basement, that's something you have to
disclose to
the buyer, even if you are a dual agent.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you have to be confidential in money parts of it.
Yeah, personal situations, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when it comes to things that are about the property, you have
to disclose that.
You don't keep it a secret because you're on both teams.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. All right. So now, what are sellers finding out the hard way when they still try to sell on their own? Because I cringe when I see
for sale by owner
signs like that, and even there's those companies that are online only. I think
entry only. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are they discovering in the end?
Well, it's not that easy.
Exactly.
If you think of it this way, there are millions.
You have to market it.
Yes.
You have to.
It takes a lot of work. So you have a full-time job. You're working 9 to 5. And then when you get home, you got to clean the house, get it ready to show, and then still show the buyers, know how to negotiate with them. Know how to put the contracts together, deal with situations that may come up in financing.
Hand it over to the professionals.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, in today's digital age, I mean, you know, we can go online, go on YouTube, Pinterest, find out a secret recipe, change your own oil, build a shed, you name it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I should go do it by myself. I mean, leave it to the people that deal with it every single day.
But it's not a bad idea to go online and check
things out.
Educate yourself.
Absolutely.
About square footages and what pricing structures are out there for the square footage, for the amount of bedrooms, for all the different things. Oh, and there's also Realtor.com is that new commercial that I see out constantly now.
Yes, we are realtors.
Realtors. So realtor.com, this is a good thing for you.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Not all real estate agents are realtors.
Oh, so you have to take an extra certification, an extra course, if you will.
It's a membership, yes.
It's a membership.
Code of ethics, yes.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So realtor is very key. All right. So things not to do when you're ready to purchase a property. Now, I love...
I don't know why she's tapping me.
Some of these things make sense. You know, don't leave an existing job. You know, open up new accounts. Buy a new car or make a major new purchase. Mm-hmm. Ask a tenant to move out. I wasn't sure why the heck would that matter if you're selling a property. Why would you ask them to move out? Any ideas? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not sure why you would ask a tenant to move out. Okay. Unless the person buying it was going to use it for themselves. And you would have to give them, and they're not on a lease. There's a lot of reasons why.
Or if they're a hoarder and you need them to get out, so maybe you do ask them to get out so you can clean up the property before you're going to sell it. Not that a lot of that's happening out there today. I don't know. That just came to my mind. But also, pay a bill in collections. Why would you not want to pay that bill? Why would you want to wait until closing to pay that bill?
Well, you don't want to do anything financially that's going to affect your credit. Whether good or bad, you always want to refer back
good
to your mortgage.
Good or bad.
Go to your mortgage person and talk to them first about it. Doesn't matter what it is you're going to do. If you're going to pay debt, don't ever pay off your car. You know, don't do things unless you speak to them because it could affect your financing. So always want to discuss that with your mortgage professional first.
Huh. Well, good answer. Okay. I had no idea. Like, why wouldn't you want to pay off a bill? All right. So things to remember about selling and increasing your home value. You're basically selling your property, not your lifestyle. Now, I remember when I sold my last house 14, 15 years ago, I was decorating to show off my lifestyle. You can't help it. We're human, right? People are going to be coming and walking through your house.
Exactly.
But you really need to, it's a property. You're not selling your home or your lifestyle, right? So you want to sort of take away all the pictures and take away all the tchotchkes and, less is more.
Exactly. And the big banks are onto that too, because one of the big things in them training us is to get rid of distractions. That's what they call them. So collections, you know, the cherished teddies collections and, you know, stickers, Mickey Mouse borders on the kids' rooms, that type of thing. You want to get rid of all that because when a person comes into your house.
They can't see the bones.
You don't want them to get distracted by those things. Hey, who lives in the house? There's a picture of them. Oh, hey, look at the cherished teddies.
I think I went to high school with her.
Yes. Yes. You want them to focus.
Yeah.
Can I live here?
And if they see all kinds of photos, they might have a doubt like, oh, I don't want to buy this home. They have such a lovely family. Or, right? Or sometimes, right? All right. Now, location is key. But isn't that also subjective? I mean,
exactly.
I know.
School systems. Okay, so that's what's making the noise. Okay. The school system is very big when you're dealing with people that have young kids going to the schools. They want to know where the best schools are. So that's your location. Now, also, if you get
But if you're downsizing,
without,
you don't exactly.
You don't want that because of the school buses and all the traffic that goes by your house because you live right across the street. Or
from a school bus.
From the school. Mm-hmm. And you got 40 buses twice a day, eight months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Stopping you from coming home at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Location is key to each individual.
That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we're almost out of time. What do you want to mention about kitchens, baths, closets? Is there anything that stands out that you always give advice about when you're selling a property?
Decluttering.
Yes. Regardless. Like,
absolutely.
Don't change out your appliances. Don't spend a ton of money.
If you don't have the budget to change out appliances, stainless steel, granite countertops, paint, any of that stuff.
Okay.
Just simplify everything. Have a yard sale. Get rid of everything you possibly can to simplify.
Just start packing. Start packing. Just pack up all the tchotchkes and the collections.
Yep.
All right. One more question. What is the best advice you ever gave a seller?
Best advice we ever gave a seller was recently. Springtime was starting. I can notice very subtle changes in the market where I could see that it was going to be a seller's market. We had an agent that was going to be listing a property locally, and they wanted to start it at 269 because it was a divorce situation. So they had to sell it quickly.
Okay.
So they came to me, and I knew they had really great features in this property, and I knew I was going to be able to capture those features in a video.
Okay.
So I urged them to start at 309. And they were kind of hesitant because they wanted to sell quickly, but they tried it. And you know, it's significantly higher than what they really wanted to place it on the market for.
Okay.
And they did. And we had it under contract for full price in just 2 weeks.
Wow. So it's not always the buyer is not always the one trying to, you know, get the most.
Right.
Okay. That's almost unheard of.
Mm-hmm. All right, not at this company. It's not unheard of.
Well,
it really
isn't,
because she does excellent videos and she does great presentations.
All right. Well, you can visit buybankreo.com to visit Silva Realty Group. We are out of time today. I want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Liz Silva and Susan Whitehead, again, buybankreo.com. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you will tune in next Sunday after the news at noon. Until then, I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Have a great week, and remember, knowledge is power.